But because I had no money and I was an entrepreneur with it, I had to go into work to make money. And so I'm in a gym, the music, dealing with migraines, trying to train, limping around because I need hip surgery. And I walk out to my rental car after several hours and just completely in so much pain. And my rental car had been hit and run on the side of the road, like the front bumper completely removed. And I had that moment in a movie where it just goes wah, 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 and like you can't see anything. And my brain broke.
So how do you determine what success looks like to you? Do you base it on the results and outcomes, or on what you've learned along the way? You see, society has conditioned us to tie success to an outcome. But the truth is, failure is an essential part of success. The faster you fail, the faster you will succeed. So the real question is, how can we redefine our relationship with not just failure, but with success as well? Join us to find the answers that will allow you to live a life that's true to yourself and find the clarity you need to make that life a reality. I'm your host, King Lau, and you're listening to the Plan to Fail podcast. What is going on, everybody? It's your boy King here, and welcome back to the Plan to Fail podcast. Today, I wanted to share a very special interview with you. As you know, the last week, I didn't really have a live interview. Still doing replays from the summit. Hope you've been enjoying those. There's a lot of value in them, and that's why I'm sharing them. I'm still trying to get my ducks in line and getting more guests. So the next few weeks, it's going to be the summit replays, but I know that you will enjoy them and you'll find a lot of value in them. But today I wanted to share the interview I did with Adam Roa for the BYOB summit. And to give you some context, Adam is someone I really looked up to. The stuff he puts out there has really taught me a lot of what we experience in life play a much larger role into a much larger picture than we could ever imagine. So it's really helped me process a lot of what I've been going through on my journey the last few months, understanding that everything happens for a reason and that a lot of what we do, not just in business, but in life, plays a huge role, or a much bigger role, I should say, in the grand scheme of things. So I would love for you to hear his story on the heart and purpose behind his business and how you can find the heart and purpose behind yours as well. So I hope you enjoy this one. So the real question is, why are you in business? You might be in it for the money, for the fame, for the glory, or maybe just to look good in front of your friends or family. But I'm gonna be honest with you for a second, that business is hard, and it's gonna require every ounce of you for you to make it through to the finish line. So you better really truly care about why you're in business and what is the heart and purpose behind your business. Because without it, you're never gonna make it through. But luckily for you, we have someone very special that will teach you the importance of finding the why, the heart, and the purpose behind your business. So are you ready to level up? Let's go. Hey everyone, welcome back to the Be Your Own Boss Summit, or BYOB for short, where I'm asking expert entrepreneurs from various backgrounds about what it takes for you to become the boss of your business and not let your business become the boss of you. I'm here today with the incredible Adam Roa. Adam is a musician, poet, coach, and the founder of CREATE, which stands for the Collective Renaissance of Education, Art, Transformation, and Entertainment. He has actually been listed by Goalcast as one of the top 33 game changers to watch, and his viral poem, You Are Who You've Been Looking For, has been viewed more than 200 million times. He has spoken on countless stages, including Oslo Freedom Forum, Mind Valley A-Fest, and Envision Festival. Adam combines years of experience as a personal development coach and over a decade of experience as a filmmaker and performer, blending the two worlds in a way that encourages others to see life as art, as clearly evidenced in his podcast, The Deep Dive with Adam Roa, which was actually listed by Disrupt Magazine as one of the top 21 podcasts to expand your mind in 2021. Adam, I really want to thank you for taking the time and being on the summit. I know you normally don't do these things since it's quite different from what you normally do, but I honestly feel entrepreneurs who are in the early stages of building their business really need to hear your story and message so they can understand the heart and the why behind what they do.
Yeah, thank you. It's funny, whenever I hear someone read my bio or like achievements or whatever it is, it makes me feel so old. I'm like, have I really done all that? Really? I feel like I'm just getting started. So really cool. And yeah, thank you for having me. Thank you for putting on this summit. I know how much work goes into for my online community. We just did a 4-day festival.
Right.
And so there's so much work that goes on in this, and I want to acknowledge you for doing it. So thank you.
I appreciate that. So for all of you watching who don't know who Adam is, his journey is actually one of the most unconventional and inspirational stories I've ever heard. Adam sees himself more as an artist rather than a business person. But I really want you to hear his story so you can see whatever business you're building is actually an expression from your soul. I know this might be hard for some of you to understand, because that was actually really hard for me to understand at first. But I encourage you to keep an open mind and try and see business in a different light. So Adam, I know you haven't always been this person, which sometimes I wish I believed you were, but it's honestly been just the little bit I know about you. It's been quite the journey for you to become the person you are today. So can you actually give me and the audience a little bit more perspective on the person you were before and some of the realizations you had to go through?
Yeah, I think it's important for people, you know, if you have no familiarity with me or my work at all, understanding who I am and kind of what my brand is, like how I'm seen right now, would be important context. Mm-hmm. Why don't you tell me, how do you perceive me and my brand? Before I say anything about
right.
it, how would you say that you perceive me now?
That you're a person, you're a free spirit, first and foremost, that is driven by deeper meanings, and that the business you have built is to serve people in a way to help people unlock the true self and fight out all the limiting beliefs that society has really restricted us on.
Yeah, that's definitely a major aspect of what I aim to do. And I feel like if there was a couple words, you know, that encapsulate the feeling that of my brand, one of the biggest words is authenticity.
Yeah.
For me, whether it's my YouTube show, The Art of Choosing Love, where I basically hired cameramen to follow me around the world and film my breakup. I was with a woman for 10 years. We were talking about getting married and having kids. And we ended up breaking up after 9.5 years together. Right. And then I hired a camera crew. We made a reality show about that breakup. And there's just this aspect where I share openly. I share about, let me put all of it on the table right now for everyone listening. Like I've shared openly in the past about how I used to do heroin. I share about how my spiritual awakening happened through plant medicine and ayahuasca. I share about how I was sexually abused. And that was actually a repressed memory. I was 5 at the time and I didn't even remember it till I was 30 years old. Like I share so openly about everything. And that is the foundation of my entire brand, if you're going to call it that, is really about sharing openly. And the reason I do that is because I want people to understand that it doesn't actually matter what your shadows are. It doesn't matter where you are in life. It doesn't matter how much you judge yourself, how many bad things you think you've done. It doesn't matter how far you think you are from anything. And it doesn't matter what other people think about you. There, none of that defines you. And literally you can shift it and you can become the person that you've always wanted to be at any point in time when you make that decision to start doing that. Right. And to get to this place, to your original point, you know, I'm the son of a Filipino immigrant and, very stoic Asian male. You know, the number of times he said, I love you growing up, I could count on one hand. It even became a game when I got older. It became a game of like, I would say when I talked to him on the phone, I'd be like, all right, love you, Pop. And he would say, okay, bye. Or he would say, you too. He would say, you too. I'm like, that doesn't mean, but like the I love yous just weren't coming. It just wasn't a thing. I didn't get hugged a bunch. There was none of that stuff. And I was molested at the age of 5 by someone very close to my family. And I didn't remember that. My consciousness couldn't handle it and checked out. Right. And that remained a repressed memory until I was 30. But it, even though it was repressed consciously, unconsciously, it was impacting me. I was shut down, all these things. I was hit with belts growing up as a form of discipline. And I was told not to cry like a little girl when I, and like all of these things, I was cheated on, all of these things that reflected back to me my belief system that it was not safe. This world was not safe. Right. The world was not safe to be vulnerable, especially if you were a man. It was not safe to show your emotions. You were not physically safe. There was no safety even in my own home. And I was emotionally shut down. Completely emotionally shut down. I didn't cry for 9 years. I know that because I almost took pride in the fact that I just didn't go there. And so to be the person I am now, where I have, you watch my reality show, spoiler alert, it's me crying all over the world. But to be this person now, where I am a stand for vulnerability and authenticity at the deepest of levels, is not how I was raised. It's not how I was born. It's the work that I've done to get here. And that's the story that I want people to understand so that they know that it's possible for them too.
Right. Right. No, like there's a lot I resonate with because I grew up in a very traditional Asian family. No, I love you. No hugs. You know, every time I remember used to playing with my mom, like, Mom, I love you. It's kind of like a half joke, half seriousness. And she's just like, okay, I get it. You know what I mean? Like, you know, they love you, but they just couldn't express it. So for me is like, I had my own struggles with even relationships in the earlier stages of my life where I didn't know how to act a certain way because I never received that form of love growing up. But I also know that like a lot of your journey, it was through spirituality as well. Like, how did you get introduced to that? Because right before I remember looking up that you were working at an ad agency, you were actually marketing. It's quite the shift to what you're doing now. And so, yeah, my first question, I guess, what made that shift and how did spirituality actually play a role in that?
Yeah. So let me again, give you context of where I am now for all the people, especially with a business summit, right?
Like
I've been paid seven figures for my one-on-one coaching. I've made seven figures as a coach. I have lived in the Ocean View home. I have reached hundreds of millions of people with my content. I have been invited to speak on amazing state, Human Rights Foundation, all these things. I've acted in television shows in TV and film. And I have done a ton of shit that, can I say that? Am I allowed to say that? A ton of stuff.
By all means, man.
That people see outwardly as this is success. This is what success looks like. And so I want to preface that because I want everyone here to understand that success has come from a shift in my internal energetics. And that shift was catalyzed through a spiritual awakening. And I mean, I was academic scholarship to college. I graduated magna cum laude with a marketing degree, was working in an ad agency where they saw me as like the future, like creative director of this agency. I was being groomed into this thing. They were so impressed with this young college kid. And, I walked away from all of that to pursue my heart, which was, to pursue acting at the time because acting saved my life. Acting was how I got in touch with my emotions, right? Okay. I had to learn how to cry. I had to learn how to access my sadness through acting exercises because I was so shut down. My acting teacher just went like, can you feel your emotions? It was just this thing. And so I had to, it's part of my superpowers now when I work with clients and coach is I had to almost like logically reconstruct how to access emotions. And as a result of that, developed this almost like, it's like taking apart a computer. It's like, I almost got to see my own inner workings and we're all reflections of each other. So I had this desire to pursue my heart and I moved out to LA and was pursuing acting. And for most people who don't know something like that, it's rejection after rejection after rejection. You are told you're not enough all the time, what, right. Not Asian enough, not white enough, not tall enough, not short enough, not attractive enough, not whatever enough. And right. It beat me down over and over and over for years and years and years, until one year in 2012, everything seemed to be falling apart. Everything right. seemed to be falling apart. I had a shady manager who literally, to get out of the contract, I signed a bad contract under being him lying to me, essentially. And I signed a bad contract, which I take ownership of. But what ended up happening is I needed to print out my bank account statement and show him, and then give him every dollar I had to get out of the contract. What? So, and yeah, and it wasn't that much. I mean, at that time, maybe I had $4,000 or something in my account, but it was everything I had after like 7 years of what's it, seven, maybe now 5 years of like struggling to make it as a starving actor.
Yeah. And,
so I was at a financial zero, and then I had all of these things start to happen. All of these really close calls for major acting roles that literally they told me I had. And then the weekend before we were supposed to start shooting, like, got taken away. And this happened multiple times, and I'm going, what is happening? And then I'm on my way to work. I was a personal trainer at the time. I had my own personal training business. Mm-hmm. And someone ran a stop sign and hit my car. And I ended up needing hip surgery and had migraines for weeks. But because I had no money and I was an entrepreneur with it, I had to go into work to make money. And so I'm in a gym, the music, dealing with migraines, trying to train, limping around because I need hip surgery. And I walk out to my rental car after several hours and just completely in so much pain. And my rental car had been hit and run on the side of the road, like the front bumper completely removed. And I had that moment in a movie where it just goes wah, 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 yeah. And like, you can't see anything. And my brain broke. And in that moment there's a quote that I love, which is, you know, the cracks are where the light gets in. Right. And it's, I had been so successful at such a young age in terms of everything that I decided that I wanted to be, you know, from good grades to varsity sports, to popularity, winning homecoming king, getting scholarship to college, like all of these things that I decided I wanted to do, and things came easily to me. You know, right. I've been blessed with the type of mind that excels in the scholastic system very, very. So I was just getting these achievements and awards and all these things. And yet, and so I had developed this sense of, oh, I know how this life thing works. You know, I know how to be successful. I got this figured out. And in that moment, that was like the dark night of the soul breaking point where I went, maybe I don't.
Wow.
You know, like maybe I don't know how to actually make the life that I want to live. I look around and I see people who are happy and I see people who are successful in the ways that I want to be. And I've been at this for years and years and years, and I feel lower than I've ever felt. Right. And that humbling had me call a friend, the only quote unquote spiritual friend that I had at the time, and say, hey, bro, I don't know what I need. I need like one of those aura cleansings, or I need something, because it feels like I'm walking through life and there's just a rain cloud over me everywhere I go, and I don't know what to do. And long story short, that leads me to a ayahuasca ceremony. Yeah. I didn't know much about it at all. And intentionally, outside of what I normally do, I normally research the hell out of everything, but I was at such a surrender point that I went and said, okay. And I wound up in this ceremony, and literally it was two ceremonies, two nights in a row. And I was borderline atheist, definitely agnostic, and didn't believe in crystals or past lives or everything's love and energy. And I wasn't a hippie. And I went into this weekend, and I left that weekend completely changed my whole life, who I am now. Obviously I've shifted, because that was January of 2013. So in the 8 years since then, I've gone through massive shifts, but like my underlying belief systems around spirituality and the connectedness of this universe and all of us and love being the foundation, happened in January 2013. And why I'm sharing this story is because from that point to now is where all of the tangible successes really that, that most people will point to, that is what marked all of that stuff starting to come to me. And not just the out external validations and material things, sure, great, but also the happiness. Also the moments of joy, the moments of deep connection, better, like deeper friendships, more love in my romantic partnership, more adventure and purpose in my life. All of that came through embracing this spiritual side of life that I'd rejected. I was like turned off by it. I was like, there's no way. If you can't prove it with science, it doesn't even exist. And so that is why when I come into a business space, I like to say, hey, you know, I probably have done the things that you want to do in terms of make millions of dollars and create massive impact and do it in a way that's fun while you get to travel the world and all those things. And this is where I'm a bit different. You know, I can talk to you about sales funnels and email drip campaigns and like, sure, like we can talk about that. We can talk about branding your story and all of those things. But underneath all of it is a deep spiritual belief system that I hold that I believe to be the key to all of my quote unquote success.
Right. No, that's something that, something that maybe that's why I only found out about you like 6 months ago. And ever since kind of following your story, it's really resonated with me because I spent the last 4 years being in finance. And what really got me out of it, I remember after 4 years being into it, my mentors were like, oh yeah, just keep doing, build up to practice and you make money. And I'm like, I remember that one moment I was questioning myself. I was like, there has to be more to life than just building this up. But at the time, I didn't have the guts to make that shift. And as the pandemic rolled in, it really affected the way I made money because I did all my stuff face to face at that time. And I remember taking that leap of faith afterwards without a direction, without a plan. And this was something that I've never done in my life. I'm the type of person that needed to be in control of everything. I needed to know everything from A to Z before I even took a first step. So doing this, I remember that was the initial shift, the jump at. And I felt like I had to do it. I couldn't explain that feeling, but I had to do it. And I went through like 3 or 4 months at the end of last year of like just anxiety because like this is the first time everything was out of my control and just trusting that things will work out. That's kind of really kind of brought me to understanding the more spiritual side. It's kind of funny. It was an ad that actually targeted me. It was a Mindvalley ad.
And that you found me?
No, that I found Mindvalley. Okay. And that's where I started like with meditation practices and intention and journaling. And I had friends who were more spiritual and experiencing like my first ceremonies. That has been very eye-opening and it's really helped me see business in a very different light where it's like a vehicle where what can you do? It's an expression of what your message is. And that's really changed how I've seen it even going through with the summit.
Yeah. And it's so important. And it's weird for me because I feel as if so many people think of it as cliche. They think about, you know, what is your why? What is your purpose? Why are you actually here? What's important? And these questions. And yet with all the people that are asking that question and saying it, whatever, for people who haven't yet quote unquote made it to the level of success they've been striving for, they almost are unwilling to let go of it. That more people, like they'll hear this message. I would say 75%, probably 75%, maybe higher, maybe 90% of the people who listen to this will hear this and go, wow, that's really true. Like, yeah, what is my why? Well, whatever. And then they will go back to doing exactly what they were doing before. And I don't know, in personal development, there's this big thing, which is the breakdown to the breakthrough. Right? There's this idea that you go through a breakdown and on the other side of the breakdown, you have this breakthrough that really shifts you. And it's important to differentiate that you can turn your breakdown into a breakthrough, but you don't need a breakdown to have a breakthrough. And that's important distinction because for most people, they wait until the breakdown. to make changes. They wait until things have gotten so uncomfortable where they hate their job so much, or their relationship has become so unbearable, or their financial situation is so bad that now's the time to start making change. And right. My encouragement to all the people listening to this is, if you want something more from your life, for your loved ones, if you want that, and you know that you are currently in a space that is not in full alignment with where you want to be or what you want to be doing, then take some actual action steps. Take right. what I am saying here now, take what you are learning from this summit, and make shifts in your life, because awareness is not change. Awareness gives us choice. You are now becoming aware of something. Maybe my invitation to even think about, are you in alignment? Do you want more from your life? Now you're aware that maybe the answer is yes, I do want something more for my life. Yes, right. I'm actually living out of alignment because I hate my fucking job. Okay, great. Now that you have that awareness, that doesn't mean you're changed. That just means you now have a choice to take different action. And if you start making different choices, that's how you're going to change.
Right. Yeah. I think the hardest part is really letting go. Letting go of control of, like, I know what's best for me. And I think that letting go for me was one of the best things that I've done for myself. I'm still going through it. Yeah. You know? I feel like I'm coming out of finance. This is a stage where I have the least amount of money, the least amount of just knowingness of which direction I'm going, but I have been more alive than I have ever been in the last 4 years of making money, you know, and driving nice cars or any of that stuff of what the world likes to see success. And I have no idea, like, the path it's going to end up, but I like how everything has come together already really just gives me faith. And you just got to, like, you know, do your best of focusing on what's ahead of you, in front of you, I should say. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But so, like, between 2013 and, I know, 2015, we're going to go into that, you had another big shift. What were you doing, and how did you start seeing the successes during those 2 years?
Well, 2013, so after this kind of initial spiritual awakening, I'm still the type of person I'm a high achiever. I'm still that person. It's not like all of a sudden I went, oh, it's all crystals and mala beads, and now I don't care about anything. Everything's perfect. Let me just like chill in a cave and meditate. No, I went, oh man, how did I not know that there's this whole other reality to life? Like, I saw behind the curtain. And the way that I describe it is, you know, right now someone's either listening to this or someone's watching video, and you're seeing, if you're watching the video, you're seeing an image. That's true. Mm-hmm. You're seeing us speak. Behind that is binary code. There's a bunch of zeros and ones that are also true. They're literally on top of each other. And so the image is true and the zeros and ones are true. That's how I describe spirituality and the energetics and esoterics, is like, I got to see that there were some zeros and ones that were behind this thing that I called life. And my brain went, how do I become a programmer? Like, how, now that I know that there's zeros and ones, like, how do I become the best at spirituality? Like, how can I be a high achieving spirituality person? and so I just took, you know, my work ethic and my desire to be great, and I applied it to spiritual teachings. And that, I mean, I looked at, and this doesn't have to look crazy, but for example, I had my own personal training business for many years, and I would come home and I would smoke some weed with my girlfriend, and we would watch things like Grey's Anatomy or Lost. And we would watch these shows that were just kind of mindless, whatever shows, although Lost has some great writing in it. I'll give it that. I'm a filmmaker at heart. I do appreciate good things, but Grey's Anatomy I did the math once, because each episode is an hour. I've spent a week of my life watching Grey's Anatomy. I did the math. That's how many episodes I've seen. But the point is, I started coming home, and my girlfriend and I would smoke weed still, make dinner, smoke weed, and then we would watch spiritual YouTube videos. Oh, wow. We would watch videos on manifestation. We would watch videos on like past lives. We would watch videos from these spiritual teachers. And I started, you know, reading books and listening to podcasts on the subject. I started meditating every single day. I hired a life coach. I didn't know, by the way, I didn't know how to, I was going to pay for it at that time. Remember, I had no money. I put all of it on a credit card. It cost me $5,000. And I put all of it on a credit card with no idea how I was going to pay it back, but just knowing that it would come back. I knew that that would be the best investment ever. So I was willing to go into even more debt because I had a credit card bill already. I was just like willing to just shoulder that because I just believed that this would change my life. And I dove into this subject every single day. And as a result of doing that, I started to see my life change. I started to apply it to my life and shift my reality in really powerful ways. Within 3 or 4 months of hiring that life coach for $5,000, I think I had made $12,000 or $15,000. I had started my life coaching practice. So how I got into that, for some people to understand, is like, I got into that because I was doing personal training for so long. And all of these clients referred to me as their life coach. I'd had the same clients. I trained them twice a week for 6 or 7 years. They stayed with me that long. I saw them get married. I saw them have kids. They invited me to the wedding. They like introduced me to their family. They tried to get me to date their like sister. Like it was, I had this relationship and I realized they're not coming to me for the exercise.
Right.
Anyone, you can go to a gym. You can look up YouTube video. Like they're coming to me because of when we're training, we're talking about life. They're asking me for advice. They're like, I'm already coaching. So what would it look like if I just embraced that? And I started a life coaching business and it took off really, really fast. It just like accelerated. I was coaching, you know, we can only ever coach from where we have been, right? Like what we have learned how to move through within ourselves. And because I had hit this point at 18 years old where I won Homecoming King.
Yeah.
And as lame as that might sound to some of you, for like the son of an immigrant who entered high school at 73 pounds and 5 feet tall and was really late to the puberty dance and like wasn't seen as the like attractive dude. I was just like the goofy loudmouth. Like to be a senior in high school and be in like student body, you know, elected to student body, be the president of a club, to be varsity in multiple sports, to like win Homecoming King. I won high school. Like I won high school. I did everything that they say to do. Yeah. This is where like the movies, like Varsity Blues say that everyone's like hot mom is going to want to sleep with me. And just like, this is what's going to happen. And then I woke up the next day after winning and went, what? I don't feel any different. I'm still insecure. I'm still angry. I'm still unhappy. And worse, like, I don't know what to do now. Like I'd set my sights on like do everything to win high school. And here I am. And I don't know what to do now. And that was the initial wait. What if everything else they tell us to do is not going to make me happy? Right. And what if I go to college and get the career and the wife and the kids and the white picket fence and the dog. And what if I do all that? And then I'm 50 years old and I'm unhappy.
Right.
And that was the beginning of starting to question everything. And like at 18, there was no spiritual component, but I started like reading personal development books on my own and like looking at what would make me happy. And that ultimately led to me moving out to LA to pursue acting because I said, I'm going to follow my heart.
Yeah.
And so the reason I share that is because when it came to coaching, I understood energetically, it's the same thing. I understood what it felt like to get to a level of success that you had dreamed of and to realize it wasn't the thing that was going to make you happy. And so the clients that actually came to me, even though at the time I was 8 years. I mean, I was a 20. How old was I at that time? I don't even know how old I was.
A young life coach.
29, 30, like whatever.
Yeah.
But I was attracting CEOs. I was attracting actors and actresses on TV shows. I was attracting surgeons. I was attracting people who were millionaires who could see that I understood what it felt like to hit a mountaintop and not be happy. And they saw me and said, there's something that you know. Like there's something that you get. And so my coaching business took off fast. It's still actually, what's funny is people know me as an artist. They don't know that I have a business degree and worked in an ad agency, and like I have a business pedigree. And they also definitely generally don't know that still most of my income comes from working with select one-on-one clients at a really high level and just working with a few people a year, like at a really deep level. I was saying those 2 years specifically that you asked me about, 2013 to 2015, was all about becoming a student again. Just completely throwing everything out the window and saying, I don't know anything. Let me hire a coach. Let me watch videos. Let me learn. And my reality, all of a sudden people wanted to learn from me. And that became the start of a coaching business. And that kind of skyrocketed into everything that you're seeing now.
Right. So as you're kind of progressing through that, actually, because at that point, you're making money, you're doing something that you actually love doing. So in a world sense, you've kind of achieved your success in that world standpoint. But like, I'm kind of moving on to 2015. I know I read a little bit about you on how you literally gave everything away and decided to go on this journey of self-exploration and travel. What got you to do that? Such a major shift, especially when, like you said, only a year and a half, 2 years ago, you finally hit that success of like making everything happen and working with these high-level people.
Yeah, so the high level people came right around that time.
Right.
So around 2015. So the awakening in 2013, I became a student. And what I'm talking about as far as like starting to get the high level people to and working and building a coaching business, that was in that 2015 timeframe. We gave away basically 80% of everything that we owned. We literally posted on Facebook and said, yo guys, we're giving away like everything. If you want to just come over and take what you want, dishes, right. Like I gave away snowboard boots, a surfboard, like legitimately just gave it all away. And the reason for that was because we were having one of those nights, this is my girlfriend and I at the time, where we had smoked weed and we were watching a YouTube video about whatever. And I mentioned that we were smoking weed, not because I'm telling people go do that, but because I want to destigmatize a lot of these things.
Yeah. For sure.
And so we did that and we were watching this YouTube video and then a Ty Lopez infomercial ad comes on, believe it or not. Ty Lopez, the guy who's like, look at my Lamborghini in my garage. That was totally it. And that comes on and they were like 7 minute ads. So this thing comes on and we're about to hit skip, but we're just like watching it, maybe because we're too stoned to get off the couch. And we're like watching this thing. And he says, you are the sum of the five people you spend the most time with.
Yeah.
Right. And I had never heard that before. Mm. And so what we did was we pressed pause and we took out a piece of paper and we each wrote down the five people we spent the most time with. And in that, we realized that there was no one. And there was another thing that I don't know if he said, or there's something else that we'd learned too, which is that you want to design things with a 1/3, 1/3, 1/3 rule in how you spend your time, which means that 1/3 of the people you spend your time with are people who look up to you, that you're kind of teaching or mentoring. 1/3 of the people you spend your time with, you want to be your peers, where you can motivate each other, learn from each other, inspire each other. And 1/3 of the people you spend your time with are people you look up to and you see as mentoring you and inspiring you.
Right.
And so we did this and realized there we didn't have anyone that we felt was like pulling us forward. There was no one in our lives because we'd just gone through this awakening. And so it's not like we had this community of people that we were a part of, and realizing how, and this is where, again, I said the awareness was not the change. We decided to make a choice to shift that and actually make a change. And that led us to going on a 5-day, you know, life coaching, personal development retreat in Costa Rica. And while we were there, we met two humans who still remain two of my best friends, Preston Smiles and Alexi Panos, who are big personal development people. If you don't know who they are, just shout out to them. You'll love their content. They're even less hippie than me, so you might even resonate more. But the thing with that was we hit it off and became instant friends. And they invited us to come to Australia with them they were going to tour their workshop. And they said, we could use two people to help us like facilitate it. Would you like to come and do that? And our lease was coming up and we just said, okay, let's just do it. And we had people that were saying, what are you talking about? I had just started taking on coaching clients. Because I didn't start a coaching business, by the way. I started to share my journey of what I was learning, and people started reaching out to me and saying, hey, what are you doing? Like, do you coach? Can you teach me some of this? That's how it kind of naturally happened.
You're different.
Yeah. You're different. How are you are right. Different. Cause they saw it happen over the span of like a year and a half. Right.
Yeah.
And that's why, so for people listening to this, I want to continue to try and give value here, not just tell my story, but give it the value. Like, if you want clients, they're following a long-term journey, you know, like they want to know your story. They want to see the transformation in action, especially when you're talking about like high level coaching or anything like that, high ticket items or whatever. Seeing me for a year and a half embody the change was what had people going, okay, I believe this dude, you know, you asked me to be a part of the summit, but you've been following me for, you said like 6 months. There's probably a consistency to my content that you've seen that made you want to invite me to this. So anyway, we got to this point, we had this invitation and we just tuned in, and for 2 years we've been developing this intuition and all these things, and we said this feels right. We gave away all our stuff because all of that stuff was holding old energy. It's who we used to be, and we saw this as an opportunity to start fresh. So instead of putting it in storage, we like gave everything away except for like our couch and mattress and stuff. And then went, and we had people said, how are you gonna, like, everyone you know is in Los Angeles. You don't have big social media followings. You just quit your jobs and started life coaching. How are you going to get clients? No one knows who you are. And we just knew. We just knew we would be okay. And so we started, I think we traveled for 3 months straight or something, 4 months before coming back to Los Angeles. And then when we got back to LA, we were completely different people. And we went, this isn't the space for us anymore. Right. Like, this isn't it. And then we started looking for a new home, and just like the journey continues.
Right. Like, how has that trip actually changed like the purpose and the why you were doing your coaching? Because I'm sure the intention and the why before that trip was quite different than your awakening, in a sense, like afterwards.
Yeah. For me, how it changed things is it was a way of surrendering into the flow of life, basically saying, like you in this summit as an example, right?
Right.
When you take on a viewpoint of this kind of spiritual belief that I have, think about it as like existing. We would talk about binary code versus the image, right? Yeah. It's like the 3D material world. If you just want to focus on growing your material world, you can do that. You can learn. You can learn, like there's things you do in finance. There's things you do in Facebook ads, affiliate marketing. Like, there are so many ways that you can make money pretty easily, follow like templates and structures that are proven. Like, making money, if you really want to, is not that difficult. There's tried and true methods for how you can do that. And if you put all of your attention there, you can make that happen. My hope is that if you're still listening this far along, it's because I'm speaking to this other thing, this binary code, this part of you that understands that you want something more than just the material stuff. And this other piece, this like spiritual world that I'm talking about, when you say yes to that, everything that you do will grow you in the spiritual world versus the like material. Everything you do over in the material world will grow you in the material world. In the material world, what that looks like is making more money, getting more assets, more material things, whatever it might be, more followers or whatever that might be. In the spiritual world, what that looks like is your own growth. Like right. as a soul, as a being moving through this world, your growth and expansion of who you know yourself to be and what you're capable of and what life means to you and who you are deep down, that's what grows. And so when you surrender into that, what actually happens is you say, okay, I'm going to do this summit. I'm going to do this summit. And you might think it's going to be for this material thing, but you're saying yes because of the spiritual reason.
Right.
And what's going to happen is, and you said it yourself, you alluded to it, you've grown here.
Yeah.
You are growing in this way. And the thing is, we don't celebrate that nearly enough. We look at people as successful when they grow in the material way. But the growth that you experience on an inner level is worth so much more.
Right.
Absolutely, 100%. So much more. And so because you can find people who are incredibly happy and fulfilled with nothing, material. You can find people who are spiritually
100%.
100%. And you can find people who have all of the material success who are incredibly unhappy and lonely and feel devoid of real meaning or purpose or fulfillment. Like those two things don't have to interact. They don't.
Right.
So when you decide that you want to go on a path of valuing your growth as a spiritual being, as a human being here, then you start to do things like give away all your shit and go and travel and say yes to your intuition, and you will grow because you're investing in this area. It just won't look the way that it does when you grow in the material world. Right. Sometimes they'll overlap. Mine has, right? Like I've had the material success through this, but I understand that it's a byproduct of this one over here.
Right. No, that's super powerful. I think that, this is like exactly the journey I'm going through and trusting. And it really taught me that success is you grow into success. And I think the journey is actually the beautiful part of it, not the end goal, like the end result. And by going through this, like what we talked about even before the call, it has grown me into a wholly different person. Last month, I will honestly say I've grown more in the last month than the last 3 years combined. Just because of the new experience and just trusting myself to start the summit, because I almost didn't start the summit. Like I was in a financial position and this is a free event that it made no financial sense to push forward. I was supposed to continue to build a drop shipping business. I was trying to build just to make enough money to get by. And I remember talking to my business partner at that time, and we were supposed to focus and drop this business coaching program we were in, which was costing us about $3,000 a month. And we were slowly going into debt, going to the lines of credit, and it made no sense. But some part of me was like, why don't you just drop the drop shipping business, focus on this, build out the summit, and just trust. And I remember half jokingly telling my business partner, I was like, hey, why don't we just drop the drop shipping business and do this? And she's like, let's do it. And I remember just sitting there in shock. Like, I was kind of joking, but like, I mean, something feels right about this. And I think I still don't know what the destination is going to look like. But I mean, like what I told you earlier, it's been the most fulfilling part of my life, being able to put these together and meet all of you and grow and as like, a person.
What I'll add to that is you were doing a business program for $3,000 a month, right? And you just said that in the last month of doing this summit, you've grown more than the previous 3 years. So imagine we tried to quantify that as $3,000 a month for 3 years. We're talking about basically $100,000. Right. And so like you just got a $100,000 ROI in your last month because you followed your intuition to do this thing. Now, if we look at that through, well, where's the material proof of that? Yeah, you could then feel bad about it, or you could blah, blah, blah. And then that is just going to, that's your own choice on how to be with that. If you look at it as like that, wow, I actually did get $100,000 of ROI in the last month. Yeah. That was the best investment that I could have made. Looking at like, you know, this summit, I rarely do these, you know,
I was so surprised
and I rarely do them, but I just follow my intuition, but there's an understanding. And I say this like humbly for people, but I want to get people understand, like, I get paid anywhere from like probably $2,500 to $7,500 per phone call.
Right.
Per phone call for like a 90 minute phone call. And that, so to come on here and do my time in this way, I know that I'm providing thousands of dollars of value here. And even that, this one conversation, you do the summit and it may not be me. Maybe you have someone else who's it blows your mind or whatever. But the point is, like, you were investing $3,000 a month in something. Well, you just got that back so much more. Yeah. And so I want people to start being able to see that there's these two spaces, and you will grow wherever you put your attention, and you allow your energy where your attention goes, energy flows. And so the only issue that, I mean, not the only issue, but one of the major issues is the metrics that people are using to evaluate whether something is worthwhile or worth their time, or if they got the amount of ROI they wanted or whatever. It's, you can't take the same metrics from the material world and apply them to your spiritual growth and think that you're going to be able to evaluate it. You get to evaluate it in different ways, and you get to celebrate them in different ways.
Right. No, super powerful. So I'm actually curious, like, you are so open nowadays. Like you said, you're very raw and authentic. And I think that's what really drew me to you. It's kind of funny. I grew up around, all my friends were guys were always like, I'm masculine. I'm, you know, my mom, all this and that. And I feel like you were the first person that was like, just masculine enough to actually show that true raw emotion. I think that's what I really connected it to. And I know that in 2018 is when you decided to leave that one relationship you had to start pretty much the art of choosing love and without a direction. And was when I really started following you, just seeing you, you know, trust in the process that things will work out and everything happens for a reason. I'm actually curious, like, can you tell us more about like what got you to make that decision? Cause that's a huge decision. And like, were you always this open, or was that part of the journey of you learning how to open up even more?
Well, so what you're referring to, for people who don't know, so I was in a relationship with a woman for 10 years. And we got to this point where we had started to do so much deep in inner work. And that deep inner work had also taken us in separate locations. You know, I went down to Mexico to do 3 weeks of a work with aboga, which is a very deep plant medicine. And she went to Bali for 3 weeks. And then I went on tour with my spoken word poetry show through Canada for a month. And there was just all of these things that were happening. And we, to make a long story short, we had grown so much in such a short period of time, but we had done it separately. Right. And when we came back together, there was some disharmony. It wasn't fighting. You know, we didn't really fight. There wasn't anything inherently where we go, yep, it's obvious that you needed to break up or whatever. But we weren't clicking because we had grown so, and we were so differently, and we hadn't prioritized like re-meeting each other along that journey. We had almost taken for granted that, yeah, this is the person I'm spending the rest of my life with. So I could go be away for 3 months changing my cellular being and what I believe about the world, and come back and just expect that we're going to be fine. And we decided that there was more growth available for us outside the relationship than in it.
Right.
And the next day after we made that decision, So the way that we did it, by the way, is we decided to do a plant medicine ceremony together, and we literally like took the medicine and just kind of sat and meditated across from each other silently. Like,
wow,
painting the picture of how much of a different world I live in a bit. And then we both separately got the message that it was time to end it. And so that night on the tail end of this journey, I have a podcast called The Deep Dive with Adam Roa, and we recorded a podcast ending our relationship and officially breaking up, and we released it to the world that night. And it's actually still out if anyone wants. I think it's called Conscious Uncoupling. If you want to search Spotify or Apple Podcasts or all the Stitcher or wherever. And anyway, the next day I'm meditating and I'm crying, you know, what did I just do? I thought we were having a baby. Like, what's going on?
Right.
And a message, like a voice in my head, so loud and clear, said, film everything and let people see this, let them see this process. And so I hired cameramen who followed me around the world for the next year of my life, processing this breakup and finding new love and falling in love and trying to navigate a new relationship. And just that, and I shared it. The rule I had with my cameraman, I said, the more uncomfortable, the more awkward, the more painful it seems, put a camera on it.
Right. Wow.
Because what I needed for myself was to know that there was no, there was no way for me to hide.
Yeah.
I didn't want the show to be this carefully constructed thing of my image of whatever. I did not want any out. I was like, I am fully on display right now.
Right.
And
right.
That was important for me and my healing process. And I developed, to your point, I developed a deeper sense of being okay with people seeing the messy parts of me, the part of me that didn't have it figured out, the part of me that was trying so hard, but seemed like thought he was screwing it all up. And mm-hmm. I wanted people to know that I'm just human, man. Like I am so human. I am flawed. I don't have it figured out, but what I do, and that's why the show is called The Art of Choosing Love. And it's on YouTube for free for anyone who wants to watch it. What I wanted people to see was that love is not this empirical thing.
Yeah.
Love is, there's not a, like, you look at a situation and it's like, that's love and that's not love. If 100 people are looking at a situation, there's going to be 100 different views on what love is. And that's right. Why choosing love is an art. It's an art form.
Right.
And it's a moment to moment thing that is each person's individual thing. And so all I can do is show people, I am trying to choose love in every moment. And this is what that looks like. Sometimes I hurt people's feelings. Sometimes I'm hurting. Sometimes it doesn't work out the way I want it to, but like I'm right. choosing love every moment that I possibly can. And that's what that journey was for me. And from a business standpoint, for all of you business people out there, like it did not do what I wanted it to do and thought it would do. I thought that was going to be the thing that like, blew up and was going to be like a business. And then I realized, and we'll talk about like these spiritual lessons that we learn about ourselves. I realized that the reason why I wanted it so badly to be that was because I needed to think that I had just left behind the love of my life to do it. And so therefore it needed to be so successful to validate the end of that relationship. If it wasn't successful in the ways that I wanted it to, it was almost a waste of why did we even break up to begin with? And so to face off with that and let it go and end the show and whatever. And, but that's the thing, what I learned doing that in that year about social media, about business, about being a leader and having a team of people that are looking to you to lead, to the healing process of myself, to all of that stuff has led me to be able to do what I do now. It's the reason why I was able to start Create, which is my online community for people who are interested, thecreatecommunity.com. It's an online community where we put on 3 personal development classes every single week on all different types of topics, from sexuality and relationships to manifestation to embodied conscious business to, you know, I teach a class every 2 weeks called Energetic Wizardry, where I go into a lot of this stuff in depth. And like, for me, it was, how do I take the best of the best that I know? And you know, I know a lot of people that are epic facilitators. How do I get them to say yes to teach somewhere for a price that's affordable to people? Because that's the thing that I noticed in, you know, if for someone who's been paid $1 million for coaching, like that's a trend that you're seeing in personal development. It's tens of thousands of dollars to do these masterminds. You were paying $3,000 a month for your business. Like, and the people who need it most, Like they're often, they can't afford that. A lot of them can't afford that. And so how can I bring the best facilitators in for an affordable rate? But to even be able to create that community, I learned how to be that person and how to do that through that year. And that's why I don't look at this as this was a success or this was a failure. I look at this as just one giant wave that we are riding and on, you know? And so, that's, I guess, I don't know where we're at in the story. You've been asked chronologically, but that's what the art of choosing love was and has been for me. And I believe that it's actually a seed of something more. I believe that I'm going to revisit that and make another season of it at some point. I don't know if Netflix.
Oh, you should.
but I would like to find someone who, or a company that would sponsor it. You know, like I want to find whether it's a Netflix or a Hulu, or it's a private investor or what, like I want to be able to do it at an even higher level.
Yeah.
And so that I'm open to that possibility. And when that arises, I'm going to do it. And so I see it as just a seed that's been planted that it's going to do its thing.
Yeah. No, The Art of Choosing Love was beautiful. I think I remember the first time I watched it, the first episode, I was like crying. I'm like, oh my gosh, why? And I don't cry from a lot of videos, but it was so touching. It was just so raw and so emotional that it spoke to me in so many levels, especially for me going through this time of uncertainty, like seeing that, like that leap of faith was all too inspiring. And it's been great. And I know that like, that's why it's hard sometimes, because I'm sure when you started that journey, like you didn't really see create, you didn't see what was the outcome of it, but you just had to like trust and push through.
Yeah, 100%. And that's where I think having a spiritual foundation is very valuable and important, because if all you're doing is evaluating every action that you take based on these metrics of like views or financial ROI or whatever, then that's a tough space to be. And you can feel like you're having a lot of failures. You know, as someone who, you know, my poem, You Are Who You've Been Looking For, got viewed 200 million times. Yeah. If I'm in that space of everything's got to build and get better and better, I may never release another piece of content that gets viewed 200 million times. I may never, ever, who knows? It's one of the most viewed motivation. It is one of the top three most viewed motivational videos ever on Facebook, right up there with Prince EA and Jay Shetty. And I can't hang my hat on needing to beat that. I can't, those metrics are not what I evaluate things on. I look at, am I fulfilled? I actually fulfilled? What is important to me? What really matters? And those sorts of questions change, by the way. It's not, they don't stay the same. They adjust. I'm 36 years old. I just turned 36, and I'm now entering into the stage of starting to be in a place where I'm thinking now about starting a family.
Right. You know?
Not maybe around 39, 40, but I'm now shifting. I can feel the shift in me of going, okay, now I'm looking at the world through the lens of am I living my life in the way where I could incorporate a partner and children? And am I setting myself up for that? And so my value system is changing from what it was, and that's okay.
Right.
But if your value system is always about like the money and the views and the scaling of business, if that's it, then I feel like you stagnate so much more than when you're over here and you realize you're just a fluid, ever-changing force of nature.
Right. No, exactly. It's all about adapting and being open. I think that's the one thing I've learned through this journey, is just being open and trust and cutting through the noise. And that's what meditation has really helped me, cut through the noise of my doubts and my own voice to really follow like what like my heart is telling me to do, even though sometimes it makes no logical sense up here. That's why like your story has been such an inspiration for me, because you've trusted your intuition all these years without knowing every single piece of the puzzle. And it's led you to where you are today. So I'm just curious, like what words of wisdom do you have to offer for people in our audience who are trying to navigate through these early stages of their journey in building their business and finding the why behind why they do what they do?
Everything that you can imagine for your life right now, your biggest dreams, the visions that you're manifesting on your vision board and all of those things are every single one of those is a limitation.
Right.
Every single one of them is a limitation because every single one of those is based off of what your brain can put together as a pattern based on everything that you know up until this moment. Every dream you have is based off of everything you know up until this moment, which means that literally you just go listen to another one of these interviews for the summit, or just keep listening to this one for another 10 minutes. You learn something new. That means that your brain has more data that it could put together, which means it will be able to project out new possibilities for your life that you couldn't imagine 5 minutes ago.
Right.
And so don't attach yourself to the result because you're attaching yourself to the limitation. Attach right. yourself to the possibility of, yeah. of that's so far beyond what you could even imagine. And the possibility is attached to the feeling. The, right. the feeling of fulfillment and happiness and joy and love and connection, those feelings are going to be present even in the versions of your dream life that you can't even see yet. Those feelings will be a part of it. So when you can follow the compass of those emotions, you will wind up there even if you can't see it.
Wow. Beautifully said. Yeah. Focus on the journey, focus on being present, and yeah, detach yourself from the result of it. But I really want to wrap up our conversation with this one last question is mostly about failures, because I feel like this is the authenticity part where like most people see a success as like, oh, they're talented or they have this extreme skill set that they were naturally born with. So out of all your experiences, and you have a lot, what is the most memorable failure? What did you learn from that lesson? And what did that lesson, how should that lesson get you to where you are today?
I mean, I don't generally use the word failure. Because again, I see this as an ever evolving journey, right? I have tons of examples of things that I thought, like I used the Art of Choosing Love as an example. I thought that was going to wind up being this massive right. brand of whatever. And it didn't. So you could say that was a failure. I spent, you know, whatever six figures on it, and gave it away for free. Legitimately just put it out on YouTube. And there was no ROI, there was no whatever, just kind of following my intuition, which was to give it to people, like, right? But here I am, to use an example of the crazy ways that it might work out. Here I am on this summit as a result of you seeing The Art of Choosing Love. Now, I don't normally do summits like these, but I did this one out of intuition. Yeah. And now imagine someone's listening to this, one person who's listening to this, who is just going, this dude is saying all of the, he's just like speaking right to my soul. And they right. reach out to me on Instagram or whatever and say, hey, I want to work with you and coach with you. And they hire me for, you know, a six-figure coaching contract, right? Let's say that happens. I just received all of the ROI back for The Art of Choosing Love.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? Like
right, yeah.
that crazy way that can happen. This summit, no matter how many people view it, if one person goes, I know that Adam Roa can help me. I can feel it. He can help shift my life. And that's worth this investment. Boom. It's just paid for all of The Art of Choosing Love. And not only did I impact tens of thousands of people with my content and have helped people truly wow. made impact, but I also made the money, quote unquote, back. But if I don't have that perspective, if right. I look at The Art of Choosing Love as a failure because I pulled the plug and it never, whatever, I don't actually put those pieces together. I don't right. ever see the ways in which it may be coming back, and I'm not even aware of it. By just understanding that it is this ever flowing river, then even the things that I feel like didn't go the way that I wanted them to have the potential to open up doors that I never would have even known. There's probably so many things that are happening in my life that I don't even know are the result of things that I did long, long ago. And so, that's the way that I view failure that I hope is helpful for people.
No, it's amazing. I think that's like with my podcast I recently started was Plan to Fail, right? And the hope of that podcast was to help people reframe how they see failure, because everybody sees it as a finality, but it's a process of growth. You have to go through what works and what doesn't work. And each, like you said, each piece of your journey plays a role into your success. And I think that that's the best way Adam Roy would have answered it. And that was beautifully said. And I am deeply touched by it. And it's been crazy. But I, honestly, Adam, I really want to thank you for taking the time and being so authentic and sharing your stories and just being part of the summit. I know you do it by intuition. That's when you said yes to this. It was the best yes out of anybody, because I know that you trust so deeply in something I'm so new into experiencing, where I'm still struggling with some of these self-doubts, like waking up, like, am I doing the right thing? I'm like, well, my parents think I'm crazy. My friends think I'm crazy. But when you said yes, and I'm not going to lie, when I first reached out, I was like, I don't think he is. This is not the type of event he would speak on, but something's pulling. I have to ask. And if he says no, at least I know that it wasn't meant to be. But if I don't ask, I would never know. And when you said yes, it really reaffirmed that, you know, like the universe has my back and this is the right path. And I just got to keep taking steps forward in faith. And so I've been super inspired by what you shared and your story as a whole. And I'm sure that our audience can feel it too. So for everybody who's watching, I hope that after hearing Adam's story, you can find the heart and the purpose on not just your business, but why are you doing the things, and look deeper on what are you truly looking for in life.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Plan to Fail. Remember, you can achieve the life you've always wanted. Thank you so much for being a part of this community. And until next time, stay hungry.